A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side. But something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short, their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleopas, answered him, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there these last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and of the whole people, and how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since all that happened, and some of the women from our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing." Then he said to them, "You foolish men, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory? Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. 'It's nearly evening,' they said, 'and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now while he was at table, he took the bread, said the blessing, then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our heart burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'Yes, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of bread." The numerous reflections on this story indicated how fascinating it is and its importance. We wonder why the disciples failed to recognize Jesus. But how often do we fail to recognize him? He did not say to the disciples, "Look at my face, surely you recognize me. After all, I have been with you these last 3 years." And we have no idea what Jesus looked like. Mary Magdalene, now she recognized him by his voice, not by his face. We hear his voice when we contemplate the scriptures or listen to his word. And when we are at prayer, we also recognize him. Thomas recognized him by his wounds, as we do, when we see him in the poor, the suffering, the disadvantaged, and those in mourning, and the desolate. The disciples traveling to Emmaus recognized him by the Eucharist. They invited Jesus in, sat with him at table. He offered bread. They accepted, as we do at every Mass. We recognize him too in happiness, the wonderful world, in kindness, and in the love we have for each other. In the time it took to walk the 7 miles to Emmaus, Jesus explained to them all the passages that related to himself throughout the scriptures, starting from Moses. A truly remarkable feat. They changed from puzzled and fearful people into joyful men with hope and faith and determination. Happy men. Jesus, this man of joy, walks with us always. Yes, he is a man of sorrows too. But his message of the good news, starting with the Jewish scriptures, cannot be anything else but joyful. Walking along with his sad friends, even though they failed to recognize him, was, no doubt, a truly wonderful and uplifting occasion. He must have felt exuberant. He had done all that his Father had ordained. He had gained victory over death, his and ours. He had saved those he loved and those who followed him. Good news cannot be anything but joyful. His faithful could now reach their heavenly reward. His mother Mary, the woman who had known such indescribable sadness, was waiting to take her place on her heavenly throne. Why is Jesus almost invariably depicted as a well-turned-out, solemn man with a perfect hairdo and usually soulful eyes? Is that how he looked when walking with the speculating disciples on the road to Emmaus? A charismatic man, full of vitality. This man, God the Son, and the Son of Man, as he calls himself, gives us a profound insight into the food we receive at the tables of the Eucharist and the Word. Do our hearts burn within us each day as we read the scriptures of the Jewish faith and the New Testament, and when we receive the body, blood, and spirit of this man of joy? Our road to Emmaus is walking beside a companion who wishes only for eternal happiness. If we listen to him, we feel impelled to turn, meet others, and tell them of what his promise brings. This world is called the Vale of Tears, and with good reason. It can be, and often is, a most sad place. But sadness is not the same as misery, desolation, and hopelessness. For example, a woman whose child dies is in the depths of sadness, like Our Lady was. But if we believe in this companion of ours and his promises, as she did, then we have hope, and with hope there is expectation, and with expectation there is anticipation, and with anticipation there is joy, a joy that is everlasting.